open to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. The Psalms, Psalm 90. Lord Jesus, there is no way that I can deliver this word without you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. I just ask you, Lord, not for my sake, for the sake of your people, Lord, use me this morning. Speak to the hearts. We need your presence. We need your presence. This is not some religious exercise. Lord, we came here to worship you, to praise you, to honor your word. And Father, it's with great reverence that I even open my mouth to read your scripture. Touch our hearts. Change lives. Lord, come like a Holy Ghost tornado and just pull away the sin and the complacency. Pull away the things, Lord, that try and steal our lives. Let this day be a day of liberation. Let this day be a day of revelation. Let this day be a day where we're changed and we never go back to the way that we were. Yes. That's my prayer, Father. In the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus, there is none like you. There is none above you. None can ever replace you. None deserve the praise, the glory, the honor, the majesty, the power, the worship. Jesus, we commit this time to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Can the church say amen? Amen. Amen. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. You know, if Moses wrote this psalm, this would make this a very old psalm. Very old psalm. The oldest psalm. And this is what Moses wrote. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. In all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Wow. Before that was even an earth, God was God. Before the mountains were brought forth, before there was ever a man created, God was everlasting God. Skeptic, doubters, unbelievers, agnostics, atheists, Whoever you are, you cannot stop God from being the everlasting God. Before you were born, He was the everlasting God. Atheist, while you live, He is still the everlasting God. And when you have died and left this earth, unbeliever, whoever you are, He will still be everlasting God. God does not need anybody to validate Him. God does not need anyone to try and prove who He is. God is the everlasting God. He always has been, He is, and He always will be. You know, if I keep this up, I won't get out of this psalm. I need to go past Psalm 190, verse 2. Thou turns man to destruction and saith, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight as but as yesterday. When it is past, and as a watch in the night. You know, they would have the watchman, they would go and they would start their watch and they would be like, oh man, here we go. You know, I've worked manufacturing all my life and I've worked night shifts and sometimes I've gone in at 10:30 and it's like, oh, here goes another night, and before you know it, it's 7 a.m. The sun is up and I'm going home, and it's just like that. That's life. That's what the psalmist here, that's what Moses said. That's what life is like. It's so fast. It's like a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Have you heard any sermons about the light lately, the unwelcome light? This says, even our secret sins, the stuff that we think nobody sees, nobody knows. Pastor Tardo will never know I'm doing this one. My wife will never know I'm doing this. She won't know because I'm 1,000 miles. No. Your secret sins are always before God. He shines a light on every heart. He knows every heart, every circumstance, every situation that you're in. Our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that was told. Oh, I remember old David. That was a good guy. I remember he'd come to church and he'd have a suit on, and we'd say, oh, no. Oh, I remember him well. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that was told. The days of our years are 70 years. 70 years. 70 years is the promise that we are given. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, 80 years. You know, my parents, both are gone now. They're gone to heaven. I know they're gone to heaven. I know they were saved. And they were both over 80 years old. So that gives me promise that I have some good, you know, some good genes and hope that I can live past 80, maybe 90, maybe 100. I don't know. But today could be my last day. You just don't know. You could be 10 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Unless God says, body, get up. Fourscore years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So here is verse 12. Here is where I'm going this morning. So teach us to number our days. Don't say in your heart that tomorrow is promised. Lord, teach us to number our days and apply, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. God, give us wisdom today. Give us wisdom every day. Teach us to number our days. One version tells us, says this, it says, so teach us to use wisely all the time that we have. Another version says, Psalm 90 verse 12 like this, teach us how short our lives are so that we can become wise. Another version says it like this, teach us to count our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, time goes by so fast. You know, this Bible I'm reading out of this morning, this was my grandfather's. And I remember going to his house as a little boy, and my dad and I would go, and my dad would go drink coffee, and so I would go with him, and he would fix me a cup of coffee. He fixed me that much coffee and all milk, milk and sugar. And my grandfather would be sitting in this corner. If you walked in, he'd be sitting. I'm a little boy, but I remember this so well. He'd be sitting off in this corner, and he'd have this Bible, and his mouth would be moving. But I'm like, what is he over there saying? What's he doing? He was praying. And I can remember it so well. If we walked in on Sunday mornings, he'd have this old school, old time Pentecostal program playing, and they'd be talking about the Holy Ghost and all this stuff. And I was just a little boy. And I didn't have a clue what was going on. But I can imagine my grandfather looking in this Bible and looking at my dad and saying, Father, save my son. Save my grandson. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. Use him for your glory. And do you know those prayers didn't look like they were doing anything for a long time? But baby, look at me now. Those prayers came to pass. I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. God said, man, I want you to preach my word. And there's a grandfather that's in heaven saying, thank you. Thank you for saving my son and my grandson. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Who are you praying for this morning? Because don't you give up. No. Don't you give up. Don't you stop praying. Don't you stop believing. Because God is faithful. And when you pray, there is authority in our prayers. And when you pray according to God's will, he hears you. That's not even my sermon. Let me get to my notes here. Hurry up and get to my notes. This morning, I am talking about the devil's 3D plan, part 4. But my subtitle is this, and I heard this title before I ever got the sermon. This is one of those rare times, Pastor, I think you mentioned this, where you get the title of the sermon, and then you have to go and find the sermon that goes with the title. Don't let the devil steal your moment. Don't let the devil steal your moment. And according to Moses, your moment could be like a watch in the night. It could be like a tale that was told. Your moment could be a moment. It could be a moment in time. It could be something that happened. It could be a week, a month, a year. It could be a lifetime. The devil steals lifetimes. Lifetimes. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10 says. And my sister was talking this morning about how he came and stole lives of young men. That's his goal. That's his 3D plan. He wants to distract. And once he has you distracted, he will bring in deception. And once he brings in deceptions, he will have you so deviated and turned away from God's plan for your life. And if he can do that, he will get you as soon as he can. The faster he can take you out, the better. So, Psalm 90 says, teach us to number our days. Don't let the devil steal your moment. Don't let the devil steal your time. The older I get, it makes me realize that time is 1,000 times more valuable than gold. I told this young man the other day, I said, you know what? I will trade you every penny that I have if I could be your age again. I'd give you all my money, everything. You could have the truck, the money, the possessions. Just let me be 23 years old again. Know what I got to take that with me. I can't be dumb and go back and be 23 years old. I can't be that knucklehead I was. I got to go back with what I know now. Thank you for reminding me of that, sister. Do you know I believe in time machines? Uh-oh, Pastor, just calm down. I'm explaining. I believe in time machines. I believe this is a time machine. This physical body. And when we're born, we begin time. And when we die, that ends that time. And this machine is not needed anymore. But God gives us this body so that we can be placed in time. Because once you leave this world, you exit time. Time does not impact you anymore. You have now just entered the eternal realm of living. How many of you, and I want to see a show of hands. I want to see a show of hands. How many of you have made this statement? Where in the world did the time go? How many of you said that before? Look at all the hands that's going up. All right, you can put your hands down. I have another question for you. How many of you have said this? This year has gone by so fast. Let me see the hands. Look at all the hands going up. I got one more question. Deborah, don't be starting any wars in here. I'm trying to preach. Don't divide us between the young and the old. Here's my third question. How many of you have seen somebody and you've seen them and you said, my God, look how you've grown. Look how big you've gotten. Look how... Yeah. Yeah. And my point is this, and this is what I thought I would see. Every young person in here sitting there like, what is he talking about? Huh? I've never said. I see you, LSU, sitting there like, man, for the time, I got 3 more years of college. What are you talking about? Or maybe 8 more years. I don't know. You might be going for brain surgery or something. Oh, okay, 2 more years. All right. Young people, that time machine doesn't have that many miles on it. It still has that new, fresh smell. I'm getting that old guy smell on me. The odometer just keeps on ticking. It won't. Will you slow down, please? There was a time in my life, and I, you know, I can't, I would not lie behind the pulpit. I could do this. And I would feel hair hit me in the face. I would literally feel curly hair hit me in the face. Where? What happened? Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, because these days, they are so fast. They go by so fast. And because of that, it's 3 things I need you to do. 3 things. And here is number one. Number one is this. Because Moses prayed Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom. Here's the first thing we need to do every day. We need to get up and say, God, I need your wisdom today. I need your wisdom today. I don't have this thing figured out. Now, for those people in the room that didn't raise their hands, you think you got it all figured out. Don't look at you with your young self. Look at you with that new body smell, that new car smell still. I remember I knew I had it all figured out. I remember one day I was working on a car. I was changing up timing chain. This was the car back in the day. So I'm taking the engine apart, taking all the stuff off, and I'm putting every nut and bolt, gaskets, everything. This is my first car, putting it in a 5-gallon bucket, just throwing it in a bucket. Yeah, I had it all figured out. If I can take it apart, surely I can put it back together again. My dad walked out of the house and he said, David, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm changing this timing chain. He's like, yeah, you need some help? No, I don't need your help. I can do this. Just let me borrow your tools. Sure, son. He went back in the house. I changed that timing chain. I put a brand new timing chain on. And then I thought, now what? I had a 5-gallon bucket of nuts and bolts and parts and pieces, like a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. With no pictures. YouTube wasn't working back then. Matter of fact, cell phones weren't invented at this point in time. My phone was still on the wall. My dad came out and he said, son, let me help you. And I watched my dad take nuts and bolts out of a 5-gallon bucket and put this car back together again. I had no idea he was that smart, because I had it all figured out. Surely this old guy doesn't know what I know. When I wake up now, I pray, God, give me wisdom, because I don't know what I'm doing with this thing called life. Lord, help me. Help me today. I don't know which direction I need to go in. How do I even need to pray? God, give me wisdom on my job. Give me wisdom with my family. I don't know what I'm doing sometimes. You know, if we ever humble ourselves before the Lord and just tell him, I don't know what I'm doing, That would be one of the most powerful prayers you've ever prayed in your life. James chapter 4, if you turn there with me. James chapter 4 and verse 13. James chapter 4 and verse 13 says this: "Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to open me a brand new business, they said. I'm going to go to New York City. That's where I'm going. I'm going to open a business, and I'm going to make a ton of money. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going downtown New Orleans, and I'm going to start selling things, and I'm going to make, we make plans. We make all these plans, all this stuff we're going to do. James chapter 4, verse 13. And James says, "Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and we're going to stay there a year. And we're going to buy, and we're going to sell, and we're going to get rich." Verse 14 says this, James 4, 14, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." Don't think you got it all figured out. You don't know what tomorrow holds. "For what is your life?" James asked the question. "What is your life? It is even a vapor." It's steam. You ever walk outside on a cold morning and you go, and you see the steam, your breath turn, and it just vanishes. James says that's what a life is. It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. But look at James 4:15. "For that you ought to say, because of this," this is what you should say, "Lord, if it's your will, we shall live." God, if you give me breath in my body, I'll get up tomorrow. If you see fit for me to wake up in the morning, Lord, give me wisdom, please. Give me wisdom. "For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." I find myself so many times, the most simple things, I'll say, yeah, I'll be there. If it's Lord willing, I'll be there. I'll be there. Because I really don't know. Now, there's some things we know. God, here I am this morning. Should I pray? Should I read your word? It's 6 a.m. Sunday. I don't feel like it. Do you want me to go to church? You don't have, come on. But you don't have it figured out. There's some stuff you need wisdom for. There are some of you in here right now. You need some wisdom, baby. You need some wisdom big time, like right now. You need to start praying, God, I need your wisdom. Moses said this, Psalm 90, verse 12, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Praying God's will is the wisest thing that you could ever do in your life. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. You should be seeking God's face every chance that you get. Should I marry this person? You know, my wife and I fasted and prayed before we ever said, I do. I wanted to know, God, is it your will for me to marry this girl right here? She's cute and all that. Woo, man, she's cute. But should I marry this girl? And I know she was praying, God, are you sure this is the one? We fasted, we prayed, we got godly counsel. Is this God's will? Amen. Don't take that for granted. Should I date this person? Should I go to lunch with this person? Whatever it is this God's will? Because when you step into these things without God, you're stepping into some serious things.
And so many people get caught up in situations that they get entangled in and they can't get out of because they thought they had it all figured out. Hallelujah. Here's the second thing. Moses said, teach us to number our days. Here's the second thing I want you to do. I advise you to live each day with purpose and focus. Live each day with purpose and focus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Turn that with me. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Ephesians 5, 15. Here's what Paul said to the church of Ephesus. He said, see then, Ephesians 5, 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. So you hear again that message of wisdom, being in God's will, being wise in what you do. See then that you walk circumspectly. See then that you walk diligently. See then that you walk perfectly. See then that you walk meticulously. Not as fools, thinking that you got it all figured out, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Here's the way the Weymouth translation says it. He says, buy up every opportunity, for the days are evil. William says it this way, and continue to make the most of your opportunities. Make the most of your moments. Don't take your moments for granted. Don't take one day for granted. Live with intention. Live with purpose. Every day. Make the most of every opportunity. Buy up every opportunity. We are to walk circumspectly. You know, the lifestyle here is compared to a walk. We need to walk with intention, walk with purpose. Do you know if I keep walking that something bad's going to happen if I don't step off these steps properly? Walk with purpose. Walk towards your destiny. Walk in a manner that's pleasing to God. Walk with intention. I watched this documentary. I believe this guy, Samuel Lombardo. I believe he was Italian, Pastor, if I'm not mistaken. Samuel gave his testimony. He was in World War II, and they were fighting in this battle, and they were commanded, I need you to go across this field, and I need you to continue on the other side of this field. So they had these companies of men. Samuel was over one of these companies of men. So one of the leaders of the first company, he goes out walking across the field. He explodes because the field is loaded with landmines. That company said, okay, that was our turn. Company number two is your turn. The leader of one of the guys from company number two saw where this guy went. He went a different direction. He goes, he gets a little ways. He explodes, steps on a landmine. Samuel's thinking, this is interesting. It's my turn. It's my company's turn. This is what he said he did. He told his men, I'm the leader of this company. I'm the leader of this group. I'm going first. And he said, and I'll tell you what, you, you're going to be in command if I die. So you follow in my steps. And where you see me fall, you know you don't go there. You follow, and then you go a different way. And he said he looked up and he prayed, God, help me. He didn't have it all figured out. He looked up and prayed, God, help me make it through this field. And he said he started walking. Now, you know the end of the story if he was giving his testimony. Yeah. Spoiler alert. He started walking. And the field was snowed over. So he couldn't see anything. And as he walked, he took every step with purpose and intention. And as he stepped, he could hear the snow crackle under his foot. The snow and ice and leaves and debris. And every step he took was with purpose and reverence, valuing his life, knowing that the next step that he took could be his last. You know how big this field was? This field was 250 yards long. He walked 250 yards through this snow-covered field and got to the other side. But you know what he said? He turned around and looked, and his whole company, 63 men, I believe, were walking in his footsteps. Very carefully, they would see his footsteps, and they would walk in that snow-made footstep because they knew they could trust those footsteps. Oh, I could start preaching right now. Do you realize that man who was sitting in that chair? I'm stepping in this man's footsteps right now. James Walker, my grandfather, as he was praying in the Holy Ghost for me to get saved, I'm now stepping in that man's footsteps saying, God, save my sons. Save my unborn grandchildren. They're not here yet, but God, when they get here, save them. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Lord, save my co-workers. Boy, when I pray for y'all, oh God, bring revival to Faithful Word Assembly. Breathe a fire in Faithful Word Assembly. Rise up, Holy Spirit. Show yourself strong. But you know what else I'm doing? For 35 years, I've been stepping in the footsteps of Russell K. Tardo. As he's preached the word in season and out of season, my wife and I have listened and learned, and we have grown. And for 35 plus years, Pastor, I've been putting my foot where your foot has tread. You've made those steps, and we're walking right with you in the name of Jesus. We're walking with you. Your labor has not been in vain, Pastor. There are multitudes in this church, multitudes who are stepping where you stepped, looking at those footprints in the snow. And we're still trusting those footsteps because we know that as you follow Christ, you're walking in his steps. And as you walk in the steps of Jesus, we're putting our steps in your steps. You realize next year this Bible will be 100 years old. Wow. God's word does not fail. This Bible might look like me. It might look worn and aged and tattered. Man, my grandpa did some reading in his time. I don't use this Bible. It stays wrapped in plastic in a safe place. This is the first time since my sister gave it to me that I've ever brought this Bible out. But what a day to bring it out and say, Grandpa, I remember. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You know, they came back to that field after the snow had melted and the snow was gone. I'm going back to my story of the minefield. The snow was gone and they could see all the landmines now. And they said it was loaded with landmines. Every 3 feet, it was loaded with landmines. And you know, Ephesians says, 5:15 says this, see then that you walk circumspectly, walk diligently. You are careful to walk in the footsteps of those who are worthy to be followed because they follow Jesus. Live your life with intention and purpose. Make the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 17 says this, wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Here we go again. You need to understand God's will. Look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what I see this world doing now? This is, remember that landmine and those footprints? Here's what the world is doing. You have footprints laid out before the world, and God is says, here is the light, here is the church, here are my pastors, here are my ministers, hear them. And this is what the world is doing, like a drunk man in a minefield. Can you imagine what a drunk man would be like in a minefield? And you know what else? When you're being rebellious and stubborn as a Christian, you know what you're doing? Well, I guess I'll go that way. You ever see on TV, they'll pull a drunk person over and tell them, okay, I want you to walk that line. Wait, you're talking about that line? That line? Sure. You know how foolish I look right now? Good thing I at least have a suit on. Looking foolish. But that's what the word says. We're foolish when we think we got it figured out and we're not following God's will. We're like a drunk person trying to walk towards the destiny that God set for us, and we will never hit the mark without his will. Young people in this room, please hear me. Please trust me. I've been there before. I might not look like it, but I've been young before. Follow God now. Now is the time where you embrace him. Now is the time when you say, God, I want to be in your will. Now is the time. Because when you get my age, 27 or 28, never mind about my age. When you get my age, then you can make a difference in this world. Matter of fact, you can make a difference right now. Let me wrap this up. You know what else is dangerous in these last days, talking about walking like a drunk person? Is walking as a religious Christian. Just being religious. Just being Yeah, I'm going to go to church. Yeah. Holy Spirit, we are welcome here. Oh, yeah. Good word, Pastor, whatever. I'm going Popeyes, get some chicken now. Woo! Playing the religious game, you're still walking like a drunk man. That's not living with intention and purpose. Intention and purposeful living is going to church saying, Father, speak to me today. Lord, use the man of God to speak to me. Lord, give me the strength to lift my hands and worship you. Please accept my worship today, Lord Jesus. Worship, praise with intention. All right, here's the third thing. Number three, keep your eyes on eternity, because that is the Christian's superpower. That is the Christian's superpower. Keeping your eyes on eternity, looking at the prize of heaven, knowing that when you step off of this world, you will step into eternity. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Whew. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4:15 says this, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, this time machine, as I call it this morning, please don't go out and tell people that your assistant pastor believes in time machines. Don't put it on my Facebook page, you false prophet, you believe in time machines. I'm just making a, you know, it's just a reference of the physical body. All right, so for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Do you know your inward man, who you are? You are spirit. And when this body goes, your spirit man lives, and it does not die. We are eternal when we step out of this time realm. That's right. We are going somewhere for eternity. That's right. Somewhere. That's right. The inward man is renewed day by day. Listen at this, 4:17. Now, you know I could get kicked off on preaching heaven and hell, but then I'm looking at the clock, and it's clicking by so fast. But we will be in eternity somewhere, with the Lord or without him. Heaven, hell, we are eternal beings. And when we step out and take our last breath, that last time, we will see who we really are, and we will see what our final destination looks like. And I pray that I see all of you in heaven. I'm going to heaven. Are you with me? So, amen. 2 Corinthians 4:17, this is what Paul said. For our light affliction, which is but for how long? A moment. It's just for a moment. It's just for steam, a vapor, a watch in the night, a tale that was told. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Eternal weight of glory. So Paul said, Our light afflictions, the things we go through in this world, is light. It's, don't worry about that. I'm going to heaven. What's bugging you today? What's bothering you? What's your biggest problem? Don't say it out loud. I don't want to start crying up here. But what are you going through? And whatever you're going through, I want you to think about something. It's going to be over just like that. And you're going to find yourself in eternity. We put too much time and energy and effort into what the devil's doing over there. Well, did you see what the politics, what the politicians are saying now? Did you see what she wore when she walked the red carpet? I can't believe they won the championship. I hate that team, especially their star player. We're putting way too much stock in this moment and not thinking enough about what's on the other side. But look what Paul said. Let me show you how this is his superpower. He said, 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction. Paul said the things he's gone through was like, that's nothing, just light afflictions. Let me read a couple of things that his light afflictions look like. 2 Corinthians, I'm talking fast because I'm hurrying up. Let me just stop for a second. In the name of Jesus, I am not going to rush through this. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to preach God's word and what the Holy Ghost tells me and say, I'm going to say it. And I'm not going to run from this stage. But God, we're going to take time and do and say what you tell us to do and say. Then we go to Popeyes. Pastor Tardo, I'm walking in your footsteps. Don't. You go, I'm right behind you. Here's Paul's light afflictions. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure. Stripes? What's he talking about? Did they paint him? They got a paintbrush and painted stripes on him? No. He was beat. Stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. Oh, he was in prison. You know what he was doing? He was in prison, and he would go to the prison yard and play some basketball, work out a little bit. That's what Paul was doing. No, when Paul was in prison, you know what those prisons were like? They were small, cramped, little cells, dark, dingy, chained. Sometimes he was chained to Roman guards. Do you know what it had to smell like? They didn't say, hey, go take a shower, everybody. It's time for your daily shower. Hey, who forgot to flush the commode in here? Look at this. Come on, guys. No. You would vomit as soon as you walked in the door because it would smell so bad. And he said, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. In other words, he was whipped and beaten 39 times on 5 different occasions to where his flesh was laid open. 2 Corinthians 11:25. Three times I was beaten with rods. The Romans didn't have a law where they had to stop on 39. They could beat you 100 times if they wanted to. And they didn't just beat you across the back. They could beat you in the face, on the bottom of your feet. They would try and torture when they beat with these wooden rods. Can you imagine? He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Can you imagine floating 24 hours in the middle of the sea, just out there, not knowing if you're about to die? But he said this, once I was stoned. In the middle of all this, he says, oh, yeah, I was stoned one time. That didn't mean that somebody took a rock and threw him and hit him in the ear. I want to look at this. In Acts 14, 19, he says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persecuted the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. If they thought Paul was dead, do you know what he had to have looked like? He was busted open. His flesh was hanging from his head, his body. Blood was everywhere. He looked like a pulp. And somebody looked at him and said, man, we got him this time. This guy is dead for sure. And they drug his corpse out the city and wanted the animals to eat his body. Going back to 2 Corinthians 11, he says, in journeyings often, in perils in water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen. This means that his life was at stake. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He even could go to church and people would be there out to get him. In other words, he wasn't safe anywhere. In weariness and painfulness and watching often, I hunger and thirst in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And listen at this in verse 2 Corinthians 11, 28. And besides all of this I just named, he says, besides those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. All he went through, all the beatings, the stonings, the shipwreck, the threatenings. Right. He said, you know what? With all that, my heart still was for the churches. Oh, how are my people doing? His heart was broken every day that he was locked up. And so, as we go back to what he said in 2 Corinthians 4, 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul said, yeah, I've been through a lot. I've gone through a lot. But you know what? On the other side of this moment, my Father is waiting for me. Jesus is waiting for me. And this stuff down here can't even hold a candle to what we're going to experience in glory. I remember standing ready to preach my father's funeral, and I remember saying these words, and I was like, where is this coming from? I said, I am so happy for my dad. I'm so happy for him because he's crossed over to the other side where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more heartache, no more misery, no more tired, aching body. He's crossed over to glory. That's our superpower, church, because we know there's something better on the other side. We know there's something better on the other side. Lord, I pray today. Lord, the enemy has tried to steal our moment. He's tried to distract us away from living our life with intention. He's tried to distract us away from living our life with purpose. But today, Father, I believe you by the power of the Holy Spirit. That today, Lord, we're going to break the chains of distraction once and for all. I believe you today, Father, only by your anointing, only by your Spirit. There's nothing we can do in ourselves, Lord, but you get all the glory for what is about to happen in this place. And Lord, I thank you for the authority, Lord. You said we have authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And so today, in the name of Jesus, I declare in Jesus' name that we will break strongholds off of lives. We will break strongholds off of minds. And today, Lord, your people will leave this place changed. Forever in Jesus' name. Now, before I pray, I have a question. Is there anyone here this morning who needs to rededicate your life to the Lord because you've been distracted? The enemy has been distracting you away from what you know you're supposed to be doing. You know that at one point, you were close to his heart, and he has pulled you away. And today, he wants you to come back home. He wants you to shake off the distraction. He wants you to shake off the deception. And you've deviated away, but God is saying, now stop walking like a drunk man, a drunk woman. It's time for you to come back home. I want you to come and meet me at this altar if I'm talking to you this morning. I want you to get up from where you are and come to this altar and make a public declaration that you want to follow Jesus. If that's you, if you've never prayed before and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to come to this altar this morning. I want to pray with you this morning. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Everybody in here is saved. Everybody in here is walking with the Lord as you should. This is your time. This is your chance. This is your chance to stop the voices from talking to you and messing with you. This is your time to stop all of the noise that's been going on inside of your mind and your head. All of the noise. All of the noise. It's like when you're tuning a radio, or when we used to tune a radio, and you hear all of the noise, and you finally get to a station, and you hear God speak, and then it would be like the noise would start all over again. And you would say, God, where are you? I can't hear you anymore. And you hear that still small voice talk to you, sister. And that was God calling you. And then you would hear the noise again. But the noise stops today. The noise stops today. The noise stops today. It's time. It's time. It's time. This is your moment. This is your moment in time to where you take your moment back. You're taking your life back from the enemy. It's time. Are these the only two? Is there anyone else? And church, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to reverence this moment. I'm going to ask you to reverence this moment. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing these three sisters up. Holy Spirit, we reverence this moment. We reverence this moment, Lord, where eternity is at stake. And these ladies have decided, I am claiming my life back. I'm claiming my moment back. Claiming my moment back. The enemy has stolen your moment. And it's time for you to take your time back, your life back. And so today, sister, I'm telling you, this is a big step for you. But because of what you're doing, you're going to feel a newfound peace, a newfound joy that I don't know if you've ever experienced in your life. But I need to tell you something. Just because you're going to be in this new state of mind, I need you to pray every day, God, give me what. Don't make any rash decisions. I see this cloud of decisions over your head. Decisions, decisions. You're trying to figure out so much. And now the Lord is saying, okay, slow it down. Trust me. Ask me every step. Ask me for every step, and God will show you, sister, every step that you need to take. Okay? No rash decisions. All right. Ladies, I want y'all to look at me. God spoke to me a couple of weeks ago and said, don't let the devil steal your moment. And when I heard that sentence, he also began to work on your hearts. And so you being here is a divine time. And you're taking your lives back. So I want you to pray with me. Have you ever received the Lord in your life before? You have. So you're coming back home. You've received the Lord before. You're coming back home. Amen. So I want the three of you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming back home. It's time. I've heard your word today. You've spoken to my heart. And I'm being obedient. I'm being obedient to come to this altar. And show everybody that I'm serious about living for you. Lord, forgive me of all the sin, all the disappointment. Change me, Lord. Cleanse my hands. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my mind. Bring me close to you. I give my life to you. I give this vessel to you. Help me to walk with intention every day. And I'll live the rest of my life for you. In the name of Jesus, I belong to Jesus. I am saved. I'm dedicated to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And forgiven. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Church, clap.